Oh, it's beautiful. It's lovely that God has given us voices that we can proclaim to His glory, His dealings with us, even to bring our souls to rest, for that's His desire. That's what the Lord Jesus said, that He wanted to add rest to our soul. Would like, as this is the last session of mine to be with you, to thank the three assemblies for putting on this conference and trust that you'll stick at it. It's a good work. It gives the Christians something they need, the word of truth and the fellowship one with another. There's a lot of benefit in being able to come from a small assembly and to get into a size of a good number of people and to be encouraged to see that God has His own in more places than just where you live, and that God is glorified in other hearts and lives, and they rejoice in Him too. So it's a real encouragement to be together, and I'd like to thank the assemblies for it, for the ladies and all the efforts they put forth in serving us. How many times behind the scenes are some difficult things. Having been at a youth camp and directed one for 7 years, I know what it is to be behind that counter when it's mealtime and there's a lot of people to be fed and something goes wrong and the meal's not there. Sometimes that happens at conferences too. But we thank God for all the sisters and the brothers who are ever here early, cleaning the place up and straightening it out. It's good to see that we've got so many willing hands and willing hearts to serve the Lord. We took a look at the wisdom of God the other day, even as we considered the first night, the worship of God. Then our brethren brought to us a man of God and walking with God, sent of God, and drawing near to God, our brother has brought us to today. And I have to rejoice with James. You know, James says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. That's pretty nice, isn't it? To have a God who so desires our fellowship that if we make any effort toward Him, He's going to make an effort toward us. He's already made the effort in giving His Son, coming all the way from heaven's glory to this scene that we might be saved. But now He wants us to have a fellowship with Him and with one another. And I suppose when we get all done, I think sometimes I rejoice the way God blends things together. You know, when you think ahead of time what you're going to speak, and then you begin to wonder, well, how's it going to blend with what He has and the others to say? And you see how God puts it all together, and your heart begins to thrill because you know it's of the Spirit of God. And I said that we were going to look at wisdom today, wisdom, how you get it. And the rewards of wisdom, and I'll tell you right now, I won't make it, but we'll get through part of it enough to whet your appetite, enough to bring you to the point of understanding of how you become a man of God that can walk with God and that can draw near to God. Our brethren have brought us some basic verses to see the challenge of God, that that's what God wants. But here in the early verses of this book of Proverbs, chapter 2, and I'd like to go back there again. Yesterday we looked at God's wisdom as it was manifest to us in the deity of Christ and in the incarnation of Christ, the manifestation of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ, and the resurrection and ascension and glorification of Christ. How that was the wisdom of God to the church, how it was all necessary that the church might exist and might be maintained with the holiness of the character of God. That's His desire. And here Solomon, speaking through the Spirit, is addressing this to the Son again. Chapter 2 and verse 1. My Son, if you will receive my words and lay up my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, searchest for her as hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of justice, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness, and justice, and equity, and every good path. When wisdom entereth thine heart, and knowest knowledge is pleasant to the soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the evil men, from men that speak perverse things. If there's ever a time that we need the wisdom of God, it's in these days, the last days. It's in the days when evil is running at a very rapid rate, an evil that comes wrapped in a measure of truth, that the very elect, some of them, are being drawn away to it. And that is why we need the wisdom of God. And God has opened a way here. He says he gives it, but this is the way he gives it. There are five things that we read in this portion through which we gain wisdom. First of all, he said, if thou wilt receive my word. Now, we began by praying, Lord, we want to be changed people when we leave this place. Well, if that was the prayer of your heart and you came prepared to be changed, how have we received the word of God? Now, I think there are several ways we need to receive his word. When it's going to bear fruit in our lives, we're going to receive it perhaps as he spoke in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke 8, chapter 8 and verse 5, when he laid down how the sower went out to sow, and he sows his seed. Some falls by the wayside, some falls on shallow ground, no depth to it. Some falls on ground that's full of seeds of weeds that grow up and choke out the good seed. And some falls on good ground. We can liken that to four hearts. And your heart and my heart falls in one of the categories today. The first one is a hard heart. And in a hard heart, you can say, no, I'm not going to listen to this. There's a measure of it I want, but I don't want to be changed to that extent. I want wisdom because I'd like to have some knowledge, but I'd like to suggest to you, knowledge is not wisdom. The man went to college one time, and when he finished it, it was a school in Ohio. And he turned around and he sued the college. And when it was brought to court, the suit he brought against the college was that he had graduated with a lot of knowledge, but he didn't have wisdom. And the judge threw it out. He said, all you can give in college is give a man with knowledge. You cannot give him wisdom. Wisdom is the practical application of knowledge. And he threw it out. You could have gotten knowledge in that heart of yours. As the seed falls in these last days, knowledge of some things that you've never heard before. Or you can get wisdom as you take those things that have fallen and now put them to a practical application. Because that's what wisdom is. And so first of all, you got a hard heart. Maybe you got a shallow heart. That heart that just takes a measure of it. Back at Lake Geneva, where I ran a camp for a while, it was an old estate where years before there had been barns that burnt down, were built before the 1900s, back in the 1800s. And somebody just covered the refuse over, pushed it all in a hole, and covered it with dirt. And when you come in the spring of the year, it's nice and green all over the place. But if it gets a little dry, oh my, it isn't too long, you can see, there was a foundation there, there was another one over there, and you see the width of the foundation. Not much depth of earth. The grass will grow as long as there's moisture. And it's there, just like our lawns back home this summer. You know, my lawn was so crispy and crunchy, It sounded like cornflakes when you walked across it. But I went away and to camp in Georgia. And when I came home, boy, August was filled with rain. And what do you know? My lawn was transformed from something being burnt brown to today something a beautiful green. Now, there was life in that grass, in the root that was there. And there's life in the child of God who is the Son, who has received Christ, who is wanting something yet doesn't know what it is. God says, I'll give you wisdom, and I'll give it to you if you seek it. And if you seek it with your whole heart, you can receive that measure of knowledge and go away from here. And you don't have the fellowship of the other Christians and the strengthening. And some trial comes and it begins to dry it up. And it's shallow ground. It won't dry up if you'll fulfill what he says in his portion of the Word of God. Secondly, I would suggest we need to receive the Word as we read of Mary in Luke 10. Mary sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus, didn't she? Huh. Martha was serving. Lazarus was sitting there at the table. Martha got all perturbed because Mary wasn't helping her. But Mary sat at the feet of the Lord. Now, I got a little glimpse of what it would have been if the Lord Himself would have been there. This man wasn't the Lord, but when I was in Florida, as I flew as a pilot commercially for a good many years. And one time being in Florida, I was at Pompano Beach. I guess my boss was over at Boca Raton. We didn't like staying at that fancy club, so he let us stay on the beach. But I had a preacher friend of mine who was down in Miami. And his name was Alex Stewart. And so I called him and let him know I was there. I thought maybe he'd like a ride home with us. And so he said, Ray, come on down here for the weekend. He said, there's a room behind the chapel, and that's where I'm staying. You can stay with me. And so I went down there. He was an older man, and well into his 70s. And I sat at his feet. Sat at his feet and learned of the greatness of my God. And I couldn't help but think through the years, what it must have been for Mary to sit in silence at his feet, choosing the best part, receiving what he was saying to Lazarus and what was going on, and yet in that humble place that the heart could take it in. I find my heart don't take in too much when I'm thinking about me and my and mine. Mary wasn't thinking about her own. She was thinking about him and what lay before. She received of the Lord. She received his word. Perhaps we need to take it in as he speaks to us in the book of Acts, chapter 17 and verse 11. Remember when he spoke about the Bereans, they were more excellent. They went home and searched whether these things be so. But you know, we read of them, they received the word with all readiness of mind. Have we been ready this weekend? I trust we have. And as we sat, we've been blessed by God. We've had a mind that was able to take it in. Now, you normally take in just about 10% of what you hear. That's not a very great amount, is it? They say you take in a little more if you take notes. I think you take in more if you listen to it later. Many times these tapes are a real benefit. By our increase of what we understand goes up the more we give heed to it. But if we came here with a ready mind, and in our weariness that you may have this afternoon, you know, I can remember years ago here when there used to be three preachers in the afternoon. And the guy who was the third one, it was rest period. You know, and it used to say that's the toughest session to preach at. Well, this isn't the third one, and this is the second one. And you're not that weary yet, but I'm sure you're tired. But you know, if you have a ready mind, and you're willing to say, oh, Lord, tune my mind in. I know I'm tired and I know it's wandering, but I want to hear. You know, that's the kind of man that's going to take it in, our woman, because they receive the word with all readiness of mind. Readiness of mind and heart. You know, I like what the Lord Jesus said. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's pretty neat, you know, because if you got a ready mind and you got a heart that you're willing to let it be an empty vessel and let Him pour into it His word and His desires, oh, then when it comes to be the man of God sent, we're not going to be like Moses. Oh, Lord, send by your hand somebody else. What do you want him to do, isn't it? Why? Oh, I got stuttering lips. You think I've never said that? Oh, you bet your boots I've said that. I've been called to some conferences when I shuddered as I sat here on a platform, not this one, although I shook sometimes here too. I remember, this place humbles me, believe me. I remember one time here I was trying to quote a very simple verse. Like the back of my hand, I knew it. I am the resurrection and the life. And I got twisted up, and David Kirk was down here in front. David tried to help me along and straighten me out, and it got worse instead of better. So I said, well, I know where it's found. Let's turn to John 11. And some brother came to me afterwards. He said, well, Ray, he said that got you out of something anyhow, didn't it? Yeah, well, we need to come to that place where we have that ready mind that can take it in. And then when we're that man of God, not like Moses, stuttering lips, not like Jeremiah, I speak of it as a child. I got childish lips. And he said, say not that you have childish lips. He said to Moses, who made your mouth? And we need to understand that. You know what makes the difference? When the heart's full. I remember one time when I was saying with all these doctors here, a doctor did, hey, this was pretty good. Glenn told me I didn't have to go to college. I didn't need any doctors. Thanks, Glenn. But anyhow, I was sitting with a bunch of them, and you know, I looked around and I said, Lord, what in the world am I doing here? You know what he said? This is a thought I get. No pipe dream. But I heard that thought in my own mind. If anybody gets blessed, who blesses them? It's not the man. It's not the degrees, not the man, whether he's educated or uneducated. You see, if we've got a vessel that's done as we've heard, to be willing to draw nigh, that we might know Him and be able to be filled with His words, then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Oh, well, I'm sitting there, I shake before I come up here. But once He seems to open my mouth, then He can give what is His to give. And in my life, there's one little thing that's been a help to me. Ray, try to fill your heart. And if God blesses your heart, He'll bless somebody else. You know, He's the blesser. We need to receive the word like that. I think that we need to be like the Thessalonians and 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, because we read of them that Paul spoke to them and they received his words as the very word of God. You know, we wonder about the canonization of Scripture and how we got it all. When those letters were written to those Christian people, that's how we got it. Those churches in that day received it as the very word of God. Because it was those men speaking, even as we read of the older men speaking, those prophets in the Old Testament, as they were moved along by the Holy Spirit. And so we can have a word that is God-breathed. And when we take it in, it's the very word of God. And because it's the very words of God, our heart can be blessed through it. Then he says here, that's the first thing we need to do to get wisdom, receive my words. The second thing is to lay up my commandment with thee. You know what he's saying basically here? Take my commandments and store them away. Take my word and store it away. Store it away as a treasure. Store it in your heart. Store it in a place where it cannot be taken from you. I'll give you a little example of what I mean. Remember the book Jeffrey Bull wrote behind When Iron Gates Yield. That was the title of it. Remember that dear brother as he was stuck away in those times when he saw no one, had nothing there but the Word of God in his own heart. As much as they tried to brainwash him and punish him and all the things that they did to him, it was the Word of God that he could lay in that dark, lonely cell, and that Word of God came through his life. And there was one in the cell with him, God himself, in the person, that gracious presence of Jesus Christ. And that Word sustained him. Those communists or Chinese or Japanese, they could not take the Word from him. It was hidden. The commandments were there. The wisdom of God was there. It was his to keep. And that's what God is saying to us. You want my wisdom? You want wisdom that will sustain you in the hours of trial? Then take my commandments and store them away. Hide it as a jewel. You know, when we get some precious things, we want to hide them, don't we? There's a lady my wife paints with. My wife's a China painter. That means she paints in China, but she paints that China heat off. She's a good one, too. But she's an artist, and her teacher has a house. And that house is full of antiques. Believe me, she told me she wanted to sell her taxes one year, or pay her taxes. So she, you know what she did? She went out and sold two saucers this size. That's all. It is very early, early American stuff she's got. And once she goes away, she gives Laura the key to that house and says, "How will you come in and check on my treasures? Just keep track of the house. And here's all these antique dishes." And we learned recently there was more than antique dishes in that house because that lady went away on a trip. And when she came back at 2 o'clock in the morning, she was thinking about something. "I wonder where my rings are and my watches." She had some pretty high-class stuff. So she got up and looked, and they were gone. Her treasures were something that perished. They disappeared. Somebody else got a hold of them. Now, they didn't take her dishes, but they got the jewels and the watches. They disappeared just like that. Now, look, if she had had something hidden in her heart, she was away in California, where would it have been? It would have been a jewel within that couldn't have been taken. And that's what we need to do with the Word of God. We need to take it with us as we're sent ones. And we go bearing forth the precious jewels of God. The Word of truth. Oh, I think that he's saying here, we need to be like we read in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. I love that. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, sometimes we're in such a hurry anymore. We grab a little verse in the morning and we run for the day. But he said, let it come richly. Oh, just like worship has a price, that's got a price too. The time it takes to take it in. The time it takes to go through God's school. The school of experience. The school of His discipline. The school that He teaches us all along the path. And in that experience, we are taking His commandments and we're hiding them in a precious place. Remember the parable of Matthew 13, 44, where there was a man that found a precious jewel in a field. And when he found that, he went and he bought the field. He hid the jewel and then he went and he bought the field that it might be his. We got the picture of what the Lord did. But you know, that's what we need to do with the Word of God. We need to consider as that which is precious of God and then take it to our own hearts. You know, when that man found that precious jewel and sold it, he sold all that he had that he might buy that field. Our brother said to us earlier, are you willing? Are you willing? Solomon says, through the Spirit of God, buy the truth and sell it not. Buy it. Keep it. Use it for your life and then for the life of others. Not selling it, but practicing it, living it, and then freely giving it to those that you've been sent to sow it to. Thirdly, the thing that he would have us to gain is wisdom. Second verse. So that thou incline thine ear to wisdom. How do we incline our ear to wisdom? I think when we go to school, if we don't have an ear that's inclined to the teacher, we get in trouble. And in the school of the Christian life, if we don't have an ear inclined to our teacher, the Lord Himself, through the Spirit, we have a problem. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 50, and I think here you can see an example in the life of the Lord Jesus, what He would have for us in learning His wisdom. Verse 4 of chapter 50, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learner. The King James says learned, but a better translation of that particular word is learner, or it could have been disciple just as well. That I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear like the learner. The Lord God hath opened my ear. I was not rebellious and neither turned away backward. Now we know that when the Lord Jesus came here, we read of him that he grew in wisdom and stature with God and men. Now, immediately to some of us say, that's a problem. How did Jesus Christ, one who is God manifest in the flesh, who has all knowledge because he's omniscient, how does he grow in wisdom? I'd like to suggest to you, he grew in the realm of experience. Because never before had the Son of God, who is equal, co-equal to the Father, ever come to be here a servant and a son, totally yielded in obedience as both son and servant to the Father's will. He came how? In the authority of the Son? No, he didn't. He came in the form of a servant who was willing to do his Father's will as the Son. He came as a learner. Why? Because as I said the other day, when we looked at his manifestation, that he came so that he could be our great high priest. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus walking through this scene and experiencing all the things he experienced as a man, he could have compassion toward me because he got weary, he got hungry, he got angry. Not because of his own pride or anger at anything against him. He was angry that they had turned his Father's house into a den of thieves. He had all those experiences. As I said, he wept. He hurt. He was rejected. Huh? As a kid, I knew what rejection was. And I learned one day that there was one who went through rejection so that I might have one who could accept me just the way I was. What a Savior. He takes those who are rejected and are struggling for identity, and He gives us identity in His Son. As many as received Him, to them gave He the right or the power to become sons of God. You struggling for identity? As a child of God, you're a son of God. You can't get any better identity, any better family than that. If your roots are all gone and you don't know where they are, you got roots in Jesus Christ, in the Eternal One, because He's your life, if you know Him as a Savior. And when we learn of Him in this example, to have the ear of the learner, that we might have the tongue of the learner. With the ear of the learner, we go through the school of God. And in that school of discipline, He teaches us along the way, when we've got that type of heart that's willing to receive His Word and to hide His commandments, and that type of heart that wants to be a reservoir of His Word, His truth. And when we get to that place, then He gives us that wisdom that we need in dealing with others. Milo mentioned that the book of Hebrews draws us to that place where we provoke one another to love and good works. Where we need to come to place to stir one another up, that we should love one another even as He loved. And to walk in good works even as He walked in good works. And when we look at what He's done for us here with the ear, see? So when we receive the Word of God, we need to incline our ear to it. Just as He says in Isaiah 55, when He said, incline your ear and your soul shall live. When you incline your ear as a child of God, your spirit rejoices. But then He said, in inclining the ear, and I think that's an attitude of attention. What does that mean to you? You ever got down to pray and your mind began to wander? Ever got down to read the Word of God and it was hard gathering the thoughts? You ever search out for words of comfort and they seem to flee you? We need the type of mind that will draw us to attention. An attitude of attention to God. Have you ever been praying and suddenly some evil thought entered your mind and you departed from the presence of God in a moment just like that, and then you had to turn and apologize to God for it? Maybe you're not like me, but I'd have to say I have. Our hearts, God says, are deceitful and desperately wicked. And that is the reason that we need a heart that's a repository of His Word. That we can take and deposit, that it would bear an interest. Because when we make an investment, that's what we get out of an investment, is interest. And when we invest the Word of God in this heart of ours, it becomes a depository. And it becomes a place where we can take it out and reinvest what He's given to us. My, what a blessed place that is. So we need to incline our ear to wisdom. And then we need to apply our heart as a part of taking it and putting it to work. When He speaks of our heart, I'm glad He's not talking about that blood pump. He's talking about the inward man. Spirit, soul, will, emotion. It's there. And He would like it applied in the wisdom that He gives as we receive His Word. We keep His knowledge. And then we have an ear inclined. Now when we've reached that attitude, now we can take and apply the heart in wisdom to the knowledge that He's given to us and bring it forth for His glory. And last thing He said, cry for it. Cry for it. You desire His wisdom? Remember the other day we took a couple of verses from Psalm 5 and Psalm 143. And we took a look at David crying in the morning, lifting up his voice, and then speaking of hearing the voice of his master. Well, in the 25th Psalm, there is something that puts the two of them together, I think. As David's desire was to know God's presence and God's will. He says in verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them who fear Him. He will show them His covenant. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. And Solomon says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So when we come to the first place of having that reverential respect with an honoring trust in a sovereign God, then our hearts begin to grow in wisdom. And so he says to seek it to that extent. And when we desire it so much that we cry for it, we need to be like Solomon. You know, when God called Solomon and he wanted Solomon to ask him for what he'd like, Solomon didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for gold or silver or big houses or anything else. He asked for wisdom in dealing with the people of God. Elders, would you listen a minute? Is that a desire of your heart? You've been a type of shepherd who cried for wisdom because you knew you had to deal with the people of God. How about sisters? You know, he says that the elder sisters are to teach the younger ones. You cried to God for that type of wisdom and ministering to the younger women to teach them. To teach them God's will and God's way. Solomon got his desire because he cried for it. And God said, because you didn't ask for riches, but for wisdom and handling my people, he said, I'll give you the riches too. And he gave abundantly. You know what I love? God is no man's debtor. He's no man's debtor. You'll never give anything to God but what it'll be multiplied and returned to you. Don't misunderstand me. Don't go thinking I'm telling you to take $10 and put it in the offering and think you're going to get 20 back. He didn't promise me those kind of riches. Not here. But he said, store your treasure in heaven, where neither moss nor rust does corrupt, or thieves break through and steal. Our chief treasure, Jesus Christ, in heaven. But everything we give toward him, a cup of water given in his name, shall have its reward. What about the rewards of wisdom? He said here in wisdom, he says in verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. And that's wisdom. And to find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Then we read in verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness and justice and equity, yea, and every good path. That's what Moses learned. Moses knew the ways of God. Israel knew the works of God. But Moses, being in the presence of God, Moses drew nigh to God. Moses knew the ways of God. And beloved, he'll teach us those ways. He'll give us that wisdom when we draw near to God. And he said, then we're going to understand. You know, the psalmist said, boy, I don't understand this. Milo was telling us about it. He said, here the wicked are. They got so much. And he said, I wash my hands in innocency all day long. I live that holy life. And yet my feet are almost gone. My ways almost slipped. But he said, when I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. That's what he's saying here. When we have wisdom, then he shows us a right understanding of equity and of righteousness. We'll be able to take it in. We'll be able to understand it. We'll be able to know. I'd like to suggest to you, earthly wisdom is gained. Here, you can gain earthly wisdom in a study of the Word of God. And that you, pardon me, you can gain knowledge by a study of the Word of God. Paul said knowledge puffs up, and knowledge can do that. But wisdom is going to come by drawing nigh to God. Wisdom is going to come by being on your knees before God. Someone has well said that a Bible school might make a preacher, but it's prayer that makes a heart teachable. It's prayer that makes the heart teachable. You can take the words that you've heard us speak this weekend, and I hope you will. Hope you'll take them with you. Hope you'll ponder them. Hope you'll meditate on them. Then I hope there's a bended knee from a bowed heart that will say, "Oh God, teach me thy way." That you'll draw so nigh to Him that you'll know the ways of God and that He'll make your path straight. He's coming soon. He won't tarry. Heard Dan Smith last year ago, February, down in Orlando. We're at a conference together. He said, "You know my idea of what that tarry means and what it really means." He said, "When I was a boy, my dad used to say to me when he sent me to the store, he said, 'I want you to go, but I don't want you to dilly-dally.'" He said, "My mom would tell him that." He said, "That's the idea of it. He'll come and he's not going to dilly-dally. He has a moment for when he's going to come. And that moment is not going to be put off. It is God's timing and God's time. God's clock is nigh to the hour when Jesus Christ will come. And there will be that shout and the voice of the archangel. And the dead in Christ will rise. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words." We're going away from this conference comforted, I trust, by the word that we've heard our brethren bring to us. Hope your heart been blessed as mine. That you'll carry it away. And that God will use it for His own glory. Shall we pray? Father, we ponder how we can really say thank you to you for the bread enough and the spare that you've broken to us in these past days, for filling our hearts, for storing into our minds, for causing us to think, for stirring up the depths of the soul to make us wonder where we are as worshipers, how we ponder what kind of men we are as sent from God, how's our walk with God, and what's our wisdom of God. Oh God, we ask that you'll take every word that's been stored in our heart and use it again for your own glory. That you'll preach it over in our hearts till we know the truth of it. That we've been drawn closer to thee this weekend, and as we go away this evening after the gospel meeting, that we may see your good hand and blessing to the salvation of some soul at this conference would be crowned with that glory to your Son and to yourself. We bless thee for your food. We thank thee for the abundance of it. We thank thee for